Any comments or questions?
Sometimes it is very difficult to remember Krishna when we are doing our daily activities.
When you're doing?
Our daily activities. Or to have Krishna as center of our activities.
Yeah.
That may be due to a strong desire to enjoy independently or our attachment to sense gratification.
Yeah.
And we end up forgetting Krishna.
Yeah.
So what should be done to curb this tendency to enjoy independently?
Get rid of those desires for enjoying sense gratification. And the idea to independently find happiness without Krishna. You cultivate Krishna's how-to question. Cultivate Krishna consciousness. So in the same three points, philosophically, try to understand everything in relation to Krishna. Aham sarvasya prabhavo matak sarvam pravartate iti matva bhajante ma. If we see, supposing I go into your house, I'm an uncultured person, I go into your house, I like something. I like this piano. I like this computer. I like this decoration on the wall. Bring in a truck. What are you doing? I like them. But excuse me, I mean, this is my home. These belong to me. Yeah, but I like them. I'm calling the police. You stop this right now. I'm under arrest. I'm a thief. If I understand something is the property of another and I try to make it my own, I'm a thief. Everything is the property of Krishna. I'm speaking philosophy. We enter into the world owning nothing. We leave owning nothing. In between, we're so busy. This is mine, and that's mine, and so many more things are going to make the mine. This is demoniac mentality. Ishwaraham aham bhogi. So we should give up demoniac mentality and recognize we're entering into this place that belongs to Krishna. And our business is, the purpose of this creation is to realize our relationship with Krishna. How do we realize our relationship with Krishna? By treating the place as his and using things in service to him. If I don't, I'm under arrest. Pull over, buddy. I'm going to give you a summons. We're punished by the laws of nature. And that the main punishment is forgetfulness of Krishna. Because of his involvement with a conspiracy to kill Satrajit. Not only to get the jewel, but to kill Satrajit. When Satyabhama came to know that her father was killed into sleep, she immediately went to Hastinapur to get Krishna. And Ukura split. He left town right away. They went to Benares. So the Acharya's comment, because of the offense, because of the curse of the gopis, when Akura was taking Krishna from Dwarka, from Vrindavan, because of the curse of the gopis, all of these things befell in Akura's life, the worst of which was to be bereft of Krishna's association and go live in a place where Mayavadis stay. That's the greatest suffering for a devotee, for a soul that's connected to Krishna. Or that the forgetfulness of Krishna is a reaction to our turning our attention away from Krishna. We got what we wanted, and now we're suffering. So to get back to our healthy condition after so long doing abusive things, just like somebody has a chronic, mean this way, okay? Somebody who has a chronic health problem, they didn't get chronic all of a sudden. It's because of some long period of somehow not doing something properly, a lifestyle that's very unhealthy. Like I got a back problem. It's from sitting too long and not getting enough exercise. So I've got a pain. That pain's not going to go away just by rubbing some cream on it. It makes it bearable, but I got to do something different. And I can't complain. Why do I have to do something different? It's unhealthy. And the pain is an indication. It's not. Is restored to things to proper health. So philosophically, understand, it's coveting things apart from Krishna's enjoyment that causes this forgetfulness. I can't do both. Remember Krishna and enjoy apart from Krishna. I have to forget Krishna. And I've been doing it for so long to remember Krishna again. It's a chronic problem. Going to take some cultivation. And then, so philosophy, association. Associate with those that have been practicing it, remembering Krishna. It makes it easier to remember Krishna. And cultivation, third thing. Practice. And it's not like learning some material skill, like, typing, because you practice typing, and just you don't have to think, you just fingers go. But it's not like a material motor skill. It's from the heart. It's from the soul. It's natural. The practice of Krishna consciousness brings out that which is healthy. And that health removes the disease. Forgetfulness of Krishna. That's the how-to. Translation. Not devotee like. Putana.
And a devotee going to Vaikuntha.
Bhutana went more than Vaikuntha. Bhutana went to Goloka. Of course there's a difference. Bhutana was a demoness. She was very fortunate to choose Krishna as the one that she wanted to kill. And Krishna is such a lord that he overlooked her demoniac disposition and he accepted her devotion. And what to speak of the favorable situation of one who's not a demon, but tries to please Krishna with everything that they do. That's the devotee. This is the wisdom. The answer to your question is given by Uddhava. When speaking to Maitreya, what better Lord can there be? Who can even think of someone to have as a master? He who, even when approached to be killed, delivers to the spiritual world a person like Putana, what to speak of a devotee? So she was a recipient of some very, very unique and wonderful special mercy of Krishna. So the destination was the same, but the path was not the same. Something. That's due to something I did in the past. And what I'm doing now is determining my next something. Free will is operative. I've got a pain in my back. Sharp pain in my back right now. My karma. Now what am I going to do about it? And that's a free will choice. Free will is operative. It's a visual image that's real easy for me to think about is a cow that's on a rope. And it can be a long rope, or it can be a very short rope, but always on a rope. So the options, if a cow has a certain master and is shown a certain, way of being, or, I don't know, this is not such a right way of putting it, but we have more freedom. When we act in the mode of goodness, we're given a longer rope. We have more freedom. We have more intelligence and more capacity and more license given to us by Krishna to move about. And the more that we've misused our free will, that freedom is restricted. Still from freedom. We can still move about. So our present situation is our free will choices. The next situation is a free will choice.
Krishna discusses about the items of knowledge, and there are two of the first, humility and pridelessness.
Yeah.
Basically, what is the difference between these two?
Okay. Real simple. In Srimad Bhagavatam, it's explained, Prabhupada explains, there's two psychic divisions of material consciousness. I and mine. Aham. Mamiti. Aham and mama. So, humility addresses what we think of ourselves. And pride is what we think of those things we possess. The mama division. Person who is proud is they have something and they think Kartaham, I have created this. It's mine. My whatever it is, my wealth, my beauty, my intelligence, my cleverness, my toys. I have so many toys. I'm proud. And mama rests upon what we think of ourselves. If we think I am this body, if we think of this of self in terms of false ego, false conception of self, then we think in terms of I am this body. So what's mine is what is produced from this body. That's what's mine. My work. And from the work, the fruits of my work. And from the fruits of the work, the things that I purchase. My house, my car, my this, my that. And other things that are produced from my body. Like my wife and my children and my relatives. That's in the category of mine. And there's pride in those things. Family pride, national pride, whatever it is, pride, mama, based on a false conception of self. So if we want to become free from pride, we have to come to a spiritual conception of self. Otherwise, it's like trying to ignite a fire and pouring water on the fire. So Krishna's instructions start with, in Bhagavad Gita, a spiritual conception of the self. And then comes the conception of mind, the fruits of work.
Process which Valmiki practiced in Satyayuga was same as explained in 6th chapter of Bhagavad Gita.
Turn the speaker this way because not fully, just half. Yeah. Now try again.
Maharaj, the meditation process which
which
Valmiki practiced in Satyayuga, is it the same as explained in the 6th chapter of Bhagavad Gita?
Is it the same as, if there's a tractor going by, is it the same as?
Explained in the 6th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, or is it different?
And your question is, let me say it back. In Satyayuga, the process of achieving perfection is the meditation process. Is it the same as what's described in chapter 6? That's your question?
Yes.
The meditation process that you find described in Kapila's Sankhya philosophy, no, Kapila Dev, that process of meditation is the process of Satyayuga. He teaches in Satyayuga. And the components are similar. Now, I'm saying similar because I don't know exactly, but my understanding is that the Dhyan yoga process described in chapter 6 is one part of the Ashtanga yoga system. Right? Yama Niyama, Asana, Pranayama, Pratyahara, Dhyana, Dharana, Samadhi, Ashtanga Yoga. But the meditation process, it's more complete in Kapila Dev's teachings because what does the mind, when the mind is under full control, what does the mind meditate upon? He describes it in terms of devotion. You fix the mind completely upon the form of Krishna, and in that state of trance, the soul engages in devotional service to Krishna. In that bodily neutral state. Very amazing. But the process described in the 6th chapter just speaks of fixing, you know, it's dhyan. So, when you see the Lord in that state of dhyan yoga, when you're trying to fix the mind upon the Lord in that state of dhyan yoga, what happens then? That's not described in the sixth chapter of Bhagavad Gita. It is described in the meditation process given by Lord Kapila Dev in the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. That's the process for Satya Yuga. Lord Kapila Dev. Did I answer your question?
Yes, it is.
Sometimes when we are in trouble or in circumstances where we need to make any decision, so we ask Krishna, we pray to Krishna to supply us with necessary intelligence as to what should be the proper course of action. So will it be appropriate in this way to ask refuge from Krishna, or we should just remember it?
First, option A. Has to have a realistic assessment or appraisal of who we are, where we are in the path of devotion. What Prabhupada wrote, what you're referring to, that's high. And most of us are not that high. So, it would be, we have needs and wants and concerns. To approach Krishna with those needs, wants, and concerns fits our position. That's mixed devotion. But we have needs, wants, and concerns. We have desires. So, akama, sarvakama va, moksha kama udarati, tibrena bhakti yogena. That's where our devotional service should not be lax. Our devotional service should be tivra. Tivra bhakti. And in that state of tivra bhakti, we may be akama bhaktas, we may be sakama bhaktas, we may be sarvakama bhaktas. Tivra bhakti should be our path. And in the mood of nivritti, decreasing progressively. So we can come to this akinchana position. To cultivate that, don't try to jump. That's my point. Bhakti is a cultivation, not a jumping. One who jumps can easily fall back. Move with cultivation towards that goal. That's the goal. Move. There's the light. Walk towards the light. You'll get there.
Manoj, we are talking about knowledge, association, and cultivation. So how can we properly take the association of the devotees? I think my case, it depends. I am able to respect few of the devotees at much higher level, but which devotees, some devotees I am not able to give proper respect. And at the same time, the same devotee whom I am respecting, some of the time when they give some words, say some words to me, I feel like a little bit down. And so how to take the association of
the Back to the same answer. Knowledge, association, cultivation. That's how to. Even in the matter of association, understand what's the defect. Live with the idea is that through knowledge comes detachment. Through gyan comes vairagya. Not complete, but it helps. It's certainly better than agyan or avidya. Be situated in the light of knowledge, transcendental knowledge. Take some help from knowledge. That there's this feeling that I have of I persons are helping me, so I'm grateful and I offer some respect to those who are very kindly helping me. But then when they say something that I wish not to hear, then there's some resentment. That's what you described. So where's that resentment coming from? Because the wishing is well-wishing. And let's say, you know, you take the overall picture of the person, and the person is a well-wisher. How can I have resentment towards a well-wisher? So there may be some misunderstanding between myself and my well-wisher. Let me address the misunderstanding, but not resent the well-wisher. The misunderstanding may be on my side, it may be on their side. But let me address the misunderstanding. Otherwise, what's the meaning of having a relationship with a well-wisher? What's the meaning? The meaning is meaningless. As long as you pat me on the back, everything's fine. Everything stays the same. I'm okay, you're okay. What's the meaning then of such a relationship? So when there's some correction that comes, it's because it's needed. Unless the person's not in fact a well-wisher. Then the correction is manipulative. It's not with my best interest, it's something else. This issue that you're bringing is certainly a fundamental part of growing up. And it's growing up in spiritual life too. In growing up, the child needs to understand the up than the understanding that others are affectionate besides mother and father. There's a whole resource of well-wishers and being able to establish a loving and trusting relationship with others who are well-wishers. It's just part of knowledge, part of growing up. So one goes to school. Now, and then there's someone who's giving knowledge. Of course, that's ideal. In many cases, they're not giving. They're giving avidya. And there's not any real caring. It's just a job. Or some caring, but, you know, very covered by avidya. So there's no satisfaction in that relationship. So I learned growing up, I don't trust. I got to look out for my backside because I don't, you know, this person really isn't a loving person. So one, to grow, one needs factual loving relationships. in factual loving relationships. Looks like Mother Yasoda, she's got a stick. You control Krishna. It's her son. Krishna cried. She put away the stick. Then she bound Krishna. So she's not saying, oh, Mother Yasoda doesn't love me. Look what she did. She bound me around the waist. For spiritual life, for growth of any kind, and certainly spiritual growth, there has to be discipline. There's no meaning without discipline. There's no meaning of going toward Krishna without discipline. Therefore, Krishna says, one who says that he is my devotee is not my devotee. One who becomes disciplined by, becomes subservient to and subordinate to in all respects. One who becomes a devotee of my devotee, that's my devotee. There must be discipline. We'll do the same to Krishna. Krishna does something that I don't like and then I blame Krishna. I go away from Krishna. No relationship with you. Forget it. You didn't do what I wanted. You're giving me a hard time. I've got an issue with you. I resent you. Because it follows automatically. In fact, the issues that we have with our well-wishers is the issue that we have with Krishna. That's our material problem. It's our material disease. We have an issue with Krishna. So, philosophy and cultivation. So you can take that good association. Question, but from my experience, this comes up in all features of life. It's in all types of relationships, not just the student-teacher relationship. It comes up in all relationships. We have issues with people because blah, blah, blah. And we're not going to reconcile those without this one. The Vaikuntha position's access through that teacher-student relationship. And that's representing our relationship with Krishna. The others are also, but that even more specifically and directly. Very starkly and clearly. It's our material struggle. That Mahamedi Apapadyante, Mayami Tamtarantite, very easily solved. If we surrender to Krishna, that we can enter into that relationship properly. If we choose to not surrender to Krishna, it's a struggle. Endless. And pervasive, vertically and horizontally, all directions. Behind it is our relationship with Krishna. The purpose of that, of any thing that Krishna sends our way is to enhance, it's an opportunity to enhance our relationship with Krishna. So see it like that. And address in that spirit. At least cultivate like that. And you cultivate in your relationship with Krishna muscle gets stronger. You can do it just by practicing like that. Don't get discouraged. Oh, I fell into that space again. Pick yourself up and keep moving. In the right spirit. This is my relationship with Krishna. It's all about this other relationship. We conducted there's a farm community in mid-Pennsylvania. You know your geography in America at all. New York is over here and Pennsylvania is over there, just next to New. Anyway, about 4 hours west of New York. So we have every year like a several day seminar, like a retreat in the farm community in mid-Pennsylvania, Keetanagari. So, a theme that we held at that our most recent retreat was say yes to Krishna. Everyone got a say yes to Krishna button. And one of the facilitators had everybody, the first activity was on a big flip chart brainstorming what are all the things that you don't like. Go ahead, let it all out. What are the things you don't like? Long list. Many things you don't like. Now, how can you turn that, which you don't like, into a say yes to Krishna? Because where's it coming from? Without Krishna's sanction, it won't come. So there's some therapeutic purpose behind this, something that's coming. Behind the event is Krishna. Super soul sanctioning. We may not necessarily like the event, but what about a relationship with Krishna? That's what's most important. But how then, if you say yes to Krishna, how can you address the event in such a way it will continue to strengthen your relationship with Krishna and bring Krishna consciousness to bear on the situation? You can be an agent of elevating the situation rather than feeling oneself a victim of your own creation. It's very interesting. Then they did some role play. You know, how you can disagree with Krishna, how you can agree with Krishna. It's empowering. It's a Krishna conscious way of addressing things that we may feel we don't like. It's a challenge to do that. Good luck translating that one, huh? Association, how can you place Krishna at the center? That's your question. Well, let me question the premise of your question. Without any devotee association, it's not going to happen. Some devotee association, it can happen. You mean to say no devotee association or little? Ah, okay. So, the little, you very carefully cherish and value tried to take the most from that. Then the other, the rest of the time, is try to take another form of devotee association in the vibrational kind of association. You know these two terms, Vani and Vapu, right? Just right here in Vrindavan, I had two occasions where Prabhupada brought this topic up on a morning walk. One of them is particularly memorable. The system that we had, that Prabhupada had, was he would go out the main gate and make a right. And there wasn't all this stuff here. It was nothing. It wasn't just that, like on that corner, that big thing. It was just a field for years. Anyway, and all this housing and stuff, it was just natural scenery. Long walk and to that grove of trees that's down on the right-hand side, and that would come, sometimes would go in the grove or would just come back. So we reached pretty much the place where the gate now is, that big arch. And Prabhupada stopped, put his cane, is putting his cane into the ground was a signal, okay, he wants to say something. He said, how come there's so few devotees here on the morning walk? Everybody looked at each other. So then Prabhupada said, whenever there is opportunity to associate, specifically in this case it's associate with the spiritual master, but in a general sense, whenever there is opportunity to associate, one should eagerly seek that out. And then he explained, there's two kinds of association, Vani and Vapu. When there is Vani, there will also be Vapu. Excuse me, when there's Vapu, there will also be Vani. And when there isn't Vapu, then there will be Vani. But even when there's Vapu, more important is Vani. So, then he looked around and, you know, I assume he was appraising who was there and who was not there. Because in situations like that, Prabhupada would sometimes say, where is Dhananjaya? Where is this one? Where is that one? But he just looked around and registered the message and turned and kept walking. So to be eager for association, that's good. And there's two kinds. Whatever Vapu association you get, value it. Take those as opportunities to hear and to render service. And when Vapu is not there, hear and associate in that way. And there's so many opportunities because of technology. There's recordings of Prabhupada's lectures, Prabhupada videos, Prabhupada's books, memories about Prabhupada, and there's so much connection through vibrational means. Prabhupada would sit and listen to his own books being read. Are you aware of that? He would sometimes just sit for hours, have somebody read the Bhagavatam or read Krishna book. He'd just relish and sometimes comment. This is Krishna's book. I have not written. He was dictating, I was writing. And so Prabhupada was appreciating just hearing that Vani coming from Krishna. And that's how he would associate with his disciples, was hearing Krishna Katha, whether speaking or listening. So through technology, there's so many ways. If you want, to hear the voice of a devotee, there's technology for that. You've got your mobile phone, you can call your friends. If you're, geographically distant. I know some ladies, they have a sangha where they have a conference call and they read together. They don't, blah, 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 can't, you know, just talk about what's going on. But they read from Prabhupada's books every day. Or, if they're very distant, once a week. Some of them, because they have busy lives, they just, even in the same town, there's three or four. One's at work, one's at home, and one's at school. And they've got a little conference call, and they read for half hour, 45 minutes every day. Fixed time. That's part of their schedule. That's Sangha for them. Where there's a will, there's a way. And the way may not be Vapa, it may be Vani. But there's a way. And when there is opportunity, where schedule permits and circumstances permit, sometimes, you know, circumstances are there. It's physically proximate because of a family circumstance. One cannot. One's restricted. So, somehow or another. And most important of all is the vibrational form of association. And that's right here in Vrindavan. Some of you may know Kormarupa Prabhu, disciple of Srila Prabhupada. He was never in Prabhupada, to my knowledge. He was never in Prabhupada's physical presence. He took initiation from him through the mail, and he's given his life to Srila Prabhupada in very self-sacrificing ways, in very talented and qualified ways. And not one minute, one moment, to my understanding, I may be wrong, but not any physical association with Prabhupada. So it's Vani. Very strong. It's sufficient to deliver one from material existence. And he's a wonderful devotee. Very, very, very pure saintly group. When I try to keep the goal in mind that I have to become pure devotee in this life only sometimes, it enhances enthusiasm, happiness to proceed further. But sometimes enthusiasm goes down, thinking that this is not possible for me, this is very difficult, seeing Siddhartha's attachments, material conceptions. What to do? Well, a short answer is, if you think that you can achieve the goal of Krishna consciousness on your own, that's hallucination. And if you understand that you can go the distance by the descending mercy of Krishna coming through his loving associates, then there's encouragement. So the dark place is thinking I'm alone. And if you're thinking happiness, I'm doing it alone, that's also darkness. Only to be followed shortly by disappointment, despair, and moroseness. If you're holding Krishna's hand, or rather Krishna's holding your hand, you're reaching out for Krishna, and you feel the Krishna connection, you can do anything, go anywhere with all confidence. Self-confidence means confidence in Krishna. Any other kind of self-confidence is a bluff. Like Queen Quinty is using repeatedly or several places, this explanation that Krishna is invisible, not to be seen by the eye, as he said, hoax and chaff. So that's one of his glories. It's not something that's the cause of moroseness. He's transcendental. And he can show himself if he wants to show himself, but certainly he can make his presence felt to the connecting medium of devotional service. So you invest consciousness there. Krishna's words, make the Krishna connection through taking up Krishna's instructions, and you feel the Krishna connection. You hold on to Krishna's hand and confidently you can proceed. Discouragement, that's Maya. But there's a very simple test between what is Krishna consciousness and what is Maya. Krishna consciousness is that which increases devotional service. And Maya is that which decreases devotional service. So those feelings that decrease devotional service, that's Maya. So say no to Maya. And say yes to Krishna. It's very simple. It's a free will choice. And there's lots of reasons to say yes to Krishna. And lots of reasons to say no to Maya. Maya is a cruel mistress. And Krishna is a very wonderful master. I choose Krishna. As soon as you choose Krishna, Krishna's there. As soon as you turn your face towards the light, shadow's gone. Just like that. Just like that. As soon as you do. And similarly, as soon as you turn your attention away from Krishna, all you see is darkness. Just turn your attention to Krishna. Say yes to Krishna. Say yes to Krishna. It's all it takes. Now when you say yes to Krishna, Krishna may say back, "Are you sure?" What about some sense gratification instead? I only want you. Are you sure? What about a little hardship? Are you sure you want me? I only want you. Hardship, no problem. If getting you, there's the path of getting you, there's a hardship, no problem. Are you sure? I'm sure. Very well. Let's go. I'm paraphrasing what Prabhupada has said. Krishna will examine the sincerity of our yes, I want you. And after examining our sincerity, Krishna carries us. He picks us up and carries us. Once Prabhupada said, this is in the early days in America, he said, you're thinking that because of your piety, you have come to Krishna consciousness. That is not a fact. The fact is, I found you all in some dark place. I've grabbed you by the hair and I'm dragging you to Krishna. At every step you're fussing and flailing. And I'm dragging you to Krishna. That is the fact. So, we're very much dependent upon descending mercy. And if we're open to that descending mercy, we just say yes to that. We can very smoothly and quickly proceed to Krishna. Otherwise, it's the Duratya struggle. So better to take the prapadyante path. Say yes to Krishna. And to those who are distributors of Krishna's mercy, descending kindness and mercy, then we're not going it alone. We have strength that far surpasses our own little puny strength. What good has our little puny strength done for us? Look at the mess that we've created for ourselves on our own material existence.